What's up? This is Movies on Up. Shut up, Alexa.
What's up? Woke her up?
It used to all the time. Oh, not as much anymore. What's up? This is Movies on Up, an out of this world, down to earth comedy adventure. I'm here with my co-host, my down to earth, easy, out of this world co-host, Mr. Ryan. I am Dave. We are Movies on Up. Our tagline for this week, an out of this world, down to earth comedy adventure. If you know what movie that's from, hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, or the Twitter, @moviesonup. If you are right and we pick you, we will send you a prize package. It's that easy. And that's it.
That's it.
This week,
Easy intro.
Jurassic World comes into theaters again with Dr. Ian Malcolm making his return.
Much anticipated return.
Played by Jeff Goldblum. Jeff Goldblum of last year's Thor Ragnarok. Or earlier, like 2 weeks ago, Hotel Artemis. So we thought, hey, now's a good time since the It Follows.
He's in full bloom.
Yeah. So the It Follows follow-up got bumped back. So let's just throw in Audible to Goldblum. So we're doing our favorite Jeff Goldblum movies for this week. Which I'm going to say, better idea than idea to execute?
He's a guy that I've never found myself sitting around thinking, I wonder what my five favorite Jeff Goldblum movies are. Although I like all of my five. I like them kind of a lot. And I could have had a sixth that just didn't make it because I don't like it as much as my five. But I think he is, especially now, a bit of a resurgence coming. There's never been a time where I thought, oh, that guy should step away. I really do enjoy him when he shows up and stuff.
See, there's my top three I really, really like. I could have done five that I really, really like, but I left a couple off because I thought maybe they'd be the... I didn't want five total crossovers. He is one of those, though, that I've always been more excited to see Jeff Goldblum doing press for a new movie than to see a new movie. I think I like Jeff Goldblum more
than
Jeff Goldblum the actor. I feel like I like the real dude better than what he does on screen. He's embracing that more recently, I think. Some of his more recent stuff is just Jeff Goldblum on screen, which I'm all for. He's never afraid to go for it. I love it. I don't want to compare him to Nick Cage because he's not a punchline, but I like him because he just goes for it. Everything else be damned. I'm Jeff Goldblum. This
he
is
will
what
commit
I do.
To doing whatever
this is what
is
I do,
required.
And you're going to get it, and it's going to be great. Enough about that. Your number five favorite Jeff Goldblum movie
is one of the movies that he's in probably the least on my list. It is from 2004. It's Wes Anderson's The Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou, starring Mr. Zissou, Bill Murray, Owen Wilson, and Angelica Houston. Goldblum's kind of becoming a regular in Wes Anderson movies, having appeared in Grand Budapest Hotel and this year's Isle of Dogs, which is kind of another movie that we haven't mentioned, but you want to talk about the Goldblum resurgence, that's certainly part of it as well. Like many actors in a Wes Anderson movie, not named Bill Murray, Goldblum does well at playing sort of an overly quirky character. His Alistair Hennessy is a more successful Steve Zissou at this point in their careers. And I think Goldblum is wonderful at playing pompous characters that you still somehow really like. There's a certain level of that arrogance in all of my most beloved Goldblum characters. That's certainly going to be a theme that binds most of these movies together. And like most of them, Hennessy, despite being pompous, is actually a good guy. He comes to the rescue at a couple points during the movie to help out from some pirates. Wes Anderson characters seem to be a bit like Coen Brothers characters. They're quirky, they're offbeat, they're fun, and I think actors do have fun in those roles, and they tend to be a little bit more amped up or a little bit more quirked up, which I think suits Goldblum well.
My number five is a little lesser known one from 2006, written and directed by Nick Guth. It's Minnie's First Time, starring Alec Baldwin, Nikki Reed, Carrie Ann Moss, Luke Wilson, and Jeff Goldblum. This is at a point in time where right after 13 came out, I thought Nikki Reed was going to be this massive movie star. I thought she was going to be this super compelling actress that went on to a great career. But since she went on to movies like Minnie's First Time, she's just a young girl that ends up at an escort agency where her mom's husband, Alec Baldwin, is a client, and then she seduces him, and then it turns into murder happens. Luke Wilson investigates, and then Goldblum's there involved in the whole thing. It's not a great movie. Baldwin and Reed are really good there. I still think Reed's really, really talented. I don't know what happened. I know she still works, just not, she's not headlining movies or anything, but I thought she was really good in this, and to go toe-to-toe with Alec Baldwin at this point in his career, and then Carrie-Anne Moss was also a big deal at this point. It's a competent movie. It's not fantastic, but I really liked it, and I wanted to get it a mention since, you know, I left off some obvious ones so that I could sneak it on there.
My number four is a relatively small movie from 1996, directed by Roland Emmerich, starring a former rapper and one of the best presidents to ever grace the silver screen. It is Independence Day. While not necessarily an incredible example of American cinema, I think that Independence Day is kind of perfect for what it sets out to be. When I think of the tentpole summer blockbusters, few come to mind before Independence Day. You want action and huge explosions? Check. You want a charismatic lead capable of cracking wise and kicking ass? Check. You want a convoluted sci-fi science EE plot to save the world hatched by a handsomely nerdy hero? Check. You want heroic sacrifice? Check. Goldblum has kind of got the look of the guy that could save the world, but also the smarm of someone who's ultimately much smarter than you, and he's okay with letting you know that. So again, I think this was a good use of Goldblum. He's not so, like, uncomfortably handsome, but he's not an unattractive dude. So he's just kind of like, almost like the super version of you. He's probably more handsome than you, but in a way you can't quite describe. But his confidence, his charm, his charisma, I think maybe that's part of his appeal. And he's a guy, not necessarily a matinee idol. He's not the Will Smith of this movie. That's what you have Will Smith for. But he also does fill that role of kind of secondary level hero type guy.
This one was, I think, an obvious one that I left off. I'm not a giant Independence Day fan. I'll watch it. It's good for what it is, but it's not something I'll seek out.
No.
I like Will Smith in it. I like Goldblum in it. I like Pullman in it.
Quaid, it's a popcorn flick.
It is, and it's watchable. It's just, it's not something I won't say I hate it, but I'd never say, like, I really like Independence Day. My number four is from 2002, written and directed by Burr Steers. It's Igby Goes Down, starring Kieran Culkin, Claire Danes, Amanda Peet, Ryan Phillippe, Bill Pullman, Susan Sarandon, Rory Culkin. Rory is just younger Kieran Culkin. One of those odd, almost like modern day Catcher in the Rye, in a way, where Igby fills in for Holden Caulfield, who's just this kid that has no purpose, no direction, sent to live for the summer with Jeff Goldblum, who's his godfather. Goldblum is kind of like the father figure-ish in this. It is Kieran Culkin's movie, though. Claire Danes and Amanda Peet are really good in it also, but it's a Kieran Culkin movie. But Goldblum is there to kind of drive the ship. He's got some really good scenes with Culkin in there. It's really good Goldblum. Like, he's more understated in this movie and just more that father figure type thing. Like the cool uncle, almost. That's my number four.
My number three is a movie that's already come up. It is from last year, 2017. Taika Waititi's Thor Ragnarok, starring Chris Hemsworth, Mark Ruffalo, Cate Blanchett, and Goldblum. Speaking of smarter and more powerful and generally better than you, enter the Grandmaster, which is basically the superhero movie version of Goldblum. Yeah, he's got some weaponry that'll seriously savage some people, but his superpower of arrogance is on full display. I think he's a wonderful choice for Grandmaster. In Independence Day, he's not the primary hero, he's the secondary hero. In Ragnarok, he's a second-story villain, nowhere near as important as Hela to the story. But for what is essentially a throwaway character, Goldblum brings personality to the role and a sense of humor, which is a perfect fit for what is, to this point, one of the MCU's funniest movies. That's a character that, played by any other actor, I said throwaway for a reason. You would forget oh, what was the name of that guy that Thor couldn't leave that planet? Oh, it was the Grandmaster. When it's played by Jeff Goldblum, that becomes a character that you pay attention to and that you remember from that movie. And I think it seemed like it was a lot of fun for him to play.
Yeah, this was another one I left off because I figured you would have it on yours. It's probably my favorite Goldblum on screen because it's just what Goldblum is. And Taika Waititi has said, like, most of this movie was improvised. And I feel like Goldblum did a lot of that on his own. There are some deleted scenes that are even greater than the stuff that made it. And I just imagine he had a lot of fun doing this. Whoever edited it had a lot of fun watching and deciding what greatness goes on screen and what greatness gets cut. It's weird because it's kind of in an understated way, yet still over the top. He's like calmly over the top. And it's hard to explain unless you've seen it. Like, he's not going overboard.
There's an arrogance about that.
Yes, and it's so good, and he's so funny. I just rewatched it. It's on Netflix now. It's so good. Like, when he comes in, the movie definitely shifts. The movie kind of drags until it gets to Sakaar. But it elevates to a whole other level once Goldblum and Korg, I think, both kind of steal that movie. But yeah, I really like it. From a funny Goldblum performance to a more dramatic, action-y Jeff Goldblum, I go to 1992, directed by Bill Duke, written by Michael Tolkien, starring Lawrence Fishburne and Jeff Goldblum. It's Deep Cover. This is a Lawrence Fishburne movie. Fishburne is the uniformed cop that goes undercover to a drug distributor to try to stop them from expanding their base. It's dark. It's a really gritty crime movie, so it was something different from Goldblum. He had some, like Mr. Frost, I think was a little bit darker, but this, he had that phase where he was making movies that he was almost trying to take the Michael Keaton role, where you're known for one thing but you're trying to show off in other stuff. This is one of those where he's with Lawrence Fishburne, who is fantastic in this movie. It's a really good, gritty crime movie. Just going undercover, how deep undercover do you go? What's the line between staying that good guy or becoming what you're pretending to be? It's really, really good, and Fishburne does carry it, but Goldblum is right there, second build, and is a great kind of counter to Fishburne in their scenes together.
Not that most of my list hasn't been obvious, but I think that my number one and two are, when I think of Goldblum, they're the first two that come to mind. Although Jurassic Park, not necessarily the first one specifically, I don't think he's the first guy that comes to mind. I mean, certainly you have Sam Neill and Laura Dern, but Jeff Goldblum, maybe it's just factor of how his character ends up spending most of the movie kind of sidelined, and the fact that Steven Spielberg put some really fantastic dinosaurs in the movie that just kind of knocked everyone's socks off. But beyond giving the internet sexy Ian Malcolm the meme, Goldblum, I think, gives Jurassic Park the voice of most of us watching the movie. I will grant that it is super cool to have, or would be super cool to have, a zoo that's populated with dinosaurs. And as a kid seeing this movie, I could give a shit about the human characters. I didn't know what any of their names were. I didn't care about any of them. There didn't even need to be humans in the movie, as far as I'm concerned. I was literally just in the seat to watch a T-Rex fight raptors. That is all I wanted to see. But as an adult, thinking about this idea of having a theme park chock full of some of the most dangerous animals to ever walk the earth did seem to be a little foolish. I mean, how can that just not spiral into disaster? Malcolm's not the hero of this movie. That's Sam Neill's Dr. Grant. But it is Goldblum that gives the conscience to this movie. He's literally the I told you so voice. We think it might not be a good idea to bring families to a park where they can see a T-Rex up close and personal, but Malcolm knows it's a bad idea. Whatever safeguards you put in place are not going to be good enough. Life, indeed, will find a way to fuck you.
He's kind of you watching the movie,
yes,
but way smarter than you.
Because
right. He is sidelined. He's not the one that's really in imminent danger. Throughout most of the time, yeah, He's stowed away safe. He can kind of observe and comment on everything.
And second guess everything you do.
This is my number two also. It's an obvious one, but I had to put it on there for Goldblum and Ariana Richards' performances. But it worked. You know, Sam Neill, Laura Dern, really, really good. Goldblum adds that little bit extra. And then you have Lost World, where it's Goldblum's movie, right, which I think is a competent sequel. And then you have the third one without him, which is terrible. So that's when Sam Neill comes back. So I feel like he wasn't the focus of it, but I feel like he added that little extra that the franchise needed, which is probably why he's coming back for Fallen Kingdom and not Sam Neill. But he's so good in it. He's ridiculous. That just shot of him, that's such an iconic shot that wasn't in the script and just happened.
It's got a pop figure now.
Yeah, it just happened, and that's so Goldblum. Like, if I'm in a life or death situation with Goldblum, I imagine it's going to be similar to that. He's just holed up on a table with his shirt open and just ridiculous. I really, really liked him in this movie, though, and I really like this movie.
If you like shirtless Goldblum, just wait. I've got a lot more shirtless Goldblum in 1986's The Fly, directed by David Cronenberg, starring Jeff Goldblum, Geno Davis, and a fly. Holy shit. I love this movie. I don't think about it a lot. I don't consider how much I like it a lot. But doing this movie, there's no way that I could put anything other than The Fly as my number one. I really like David Cronenberg movies. He pulls no punches when it comes to violence or gore, and the practical effects in The Fly are absolutely amazing. It's 30 years old, but much like The Thing, it's just as revolting today to watch Goldblum's transformation into Brundlefly. And the physicality, I mean, we haven't really talked about Goldblum as an actor so much, and maybe that is because we just enjoy him and watching him do Jeff Goldblum things, and not really inhabiting a character, but the physicality he brings to The Fly, it really enhances the creep factor. It would have been extremely easy to just kind of sit back and let the makeup effects carry the load in what is a creature movie. But Goldblum's behavior, his mannerisms, the whole package really add and take the special effects and really make this character something that... it's fantastic. It's difficult. You know, you're not supposed to be able to understand how this thing can actually live, but we still see some of Shane Brindle in the character, and you see him sort of less and less as he evolves into the fly, but he's still kind of there. This is not a movie that needs great acting, but Goldblum acts his ass off in this movie.
It's one of those that can be
literally
a competent creature flick,
yes,
or a really good movie with a little extra in it. And Goldblum gives that extra. I knew this would be your number one, so I left it off. So it's not my number one. I went with a more obvious number one for me. But The Fly, I almost feel like this is peak Goldblum.
Goldblum at his Goldblumiest.
Yeah, although it's early, because I don't feel like there was an acting performance on par with this since then. But I also don't feel like he's challenged himself like this since then. So I think this is the iconic Goldblum role. I think Ian Malcolm is probably right there.
As what people will remember him more for,
that
especially
Independence
people
Day.
Age. Yeah.
But I think The Fly is, when you look back on his career, that sums it up. Like, he
That's
was
the highlight,
really, yeah, really, really good. My number one, he was very, very Goldblum. He's the Goldblum we love in 1996's The Great White Hype, directed by Reginald Hudlin. I have talked about this movie any chance I get, any list I can squeeze this movie onto, I'm putting it on there. Such a great cast. Sammy Jackson, Jeff Goldblum, Peter Berg, John Lovitz, Cheech Marin, Jamie Foxx, Damon Wayans. Like, it just goes on and on. There's so many people and even just small parts in here. Goldblum is great. He's this journalist that wants to expose Reverend Fred Sultan for this scumbag that he is, and then gets an offer to work for Sultan and takes it, obviously, and sells out his crew. It's really, really good. I love it because it encompasses what boxing was at this point. This is right near the end of when I feel like American boxing died. American boxing died within late 90s, and this is 96. So this kind of builds up the Sultan character as a basically Don King ripoff, and how non-important the actual boxing was. We're still trying to recover. Like, boxing had been boxing in forever. And I love it. It's great. Everybody in it's good, especially Goldblum and Sammy Jackson and Damon Wayans. To me, this is my Goldblum movie. Once we decided we were doing Goldblum, like, I knew this would be my number one. Yes, it's not Independence Day. It's not The Fly. It's not Jurassic Park. But for me, this is my Goldblum.
And as much as you've talked about it, it was pretty easily left off my list because I knew it would be your one. Yeah. I knew Igby Goes Down would be on there. I think this list was relatively easy to kind of pick around and say, all right, well, I know he's going to take this, this, this. And I happen to like these other ones. The only one I really left off was The Big Chill. He's good in it. It's not his movie. It's not nearly as fun as any of the other movies. The Fly's not a ton of fun, but it's fucking awesome. I don't like it as much as my other ones. There weren't really a lot of candidates to be on the list, other than the ones I was going to leave off.
The only also-rans that I didn't, like, I left off Thor and The Fly because I knew they'd be on yours, and I didn't want just, you know, that'd be
right. Three.
Four, three, yeah. Mr. Frost, that's one of his Keaton movies, I think. That's him trying to do an Extreme Measures or one of those. So it was good. He's competent. Like, he's a good actor. I feel like he's a good actor, a better actor than people give him credit for. He just doesn't challenge himself. He knows what he does well, and that's just what he's comfortable with, especially at this point in his career. I like him. I'll watch him do press for any movie. So I didn't care about Independence Day 2. Liked that it got him out doing press for for Independence Day 2, though. Next week.
That'll be a challenge.
Yeah. Next week, Kyrie Irving dribbles into theaters as Uncle Drew.
Oh, he's in that? I thought it was Shaq and...
It's Shaq and Reggie Miller. And... Nate Robb is in there. Chris Webber. A lot of people in that movie that played
some
basketball.
Other guy.
So next week, we're going to do our favorite movies featuring athletes. I feel like we've done that before, but I know we've done wrestlers.
Yeah.
Which are athletes. So
they are.
It'll be... That'll
so
be
So I'm just going to redo my wrestler list.
Yeah. And then put Naked Gun 1 and 2 on there. But next week is favorite movies featuring athletes. And then we follow that up the following week as we get to the midway point. That's our halftime show. It's always one of my favorite episodes of the year. This year, I feel like I could probably do a top 10. Like, there are years where it's like, how do I put 5 movies together? I've seen a lot of movies, and there's a lot of good movies that have been out. So I'm excited for that halftime show to kind of see what other than Black Panther and Avengers make our lists. But that's in 2 weeks. So next week we'll come back and we'll dribble out our top 5 favorite.
I'll go on record as saying, even as bad as next week's episode might be, it's going to be better than Uncle Drew.
Yeah, I still feel like it's that Crocodile Dundee, Danny McBride thing where it just turns out that it's a commercial. And I feel like the closer we get, I'm just waiting for Pepsi to be like,
gotcha.
Hey. Yeah, but no, we get closer and closer, and I guess. So next week, do our favorite movies featuring athletes. So look out for Shazam and Steel.
For all the movies featuring Shaq.
Yeah, and Blue Chips. Until next week.
Keep it up.